welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. Father, I just give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, the judges of this land. I thank you for your people. I thank you. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I pray for all the kings and the presidents throughout the earth that the Spirit of God would rest upon and cause them to do the will of God. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray that you grant your people a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation and open the eyes of their understanding. Give them a revelation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the power of God to deliver them. And Father, I thank you that you have never turned away from bringing to pass your plan. You have a plan in the earth, and it's to have a bunch of sons and daughters that will live with you throughout eternity. And you have started that work in them. You will finish that work, but you've never turned away from what you're doing. We just need to understand you do all things after the counsel of your will. And as we submit to you, then you can work in us. Amen. Thank God. Okay, I've been speaking on getting into the walk of the Spirit on various previous broadcasts, and how we had to die to sin to get into the walk of the Spirit, how we had to get the law erased from our hearts, how we had to get a new heart formed and that we also had to be brought to repentance from sin. Now I find it necessary to keep speaking this over and over, that the Word of God teaches the law of Moses was done away with. But found, now listen, hear me out. Some of the same principles that are found in the law, or the laws, some of the Ten Commandments, those same principles were found in the New Covenant, like honor thy father and thy mother. We practice that in the faith. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness. We're told in Ephesians, I think it's 4:25, put away lying, that's the old man. We crucify the works of the flesh. Adultery is one of those. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So we fulfill the righteousness of the law living by faith. So I'm not teaching lawlessness. I'm not teaching heresy. But we need to get our eyes open to what the law of Moses does. It works death in us. It's a ministry of death and condemnation. It causes us to sin more. And it teaches in Romans, I think it's 7:6, we have to get the law erased from our heart. Well, that's somewhere else, but we have to be released from the law to walk in God's Spirit. Okay, so in the Word of God teaches that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's Matthew 5:20, which was the law, that was their righteousness. And the example the Word of God gives us is, you know, we're not to commit adultery, that's in verse 27, but Jesus said we're not even to look upon a woman to lust after her. Or verse 27 says that. See, so the law says don't commit adultery, and Jesus said our righteousness must exceed that. He said don't even look upon a woman. So under the law, we don't commit the act. But under the new covenant, we're to get the sin purified out of our hearts that causes the act. This is where most Christians, this is where I see most Christians walk. They clean up the outside of the cup, do everything they can to stop doing the act of sin, but they don't get purified the sin out of them, and therefore they have trouble walking in the Spirit. This is what God is leading me, is to bring more attention to the condition of your heart determines what Spirit you walk in. Now, repentance is not just turning from outward acts of sin, but being redeemed from the power of sin. We're going to look into that in this broadcast. Then we can come out of the hole of evil spirits. All right? And I can tell, like I said, the Spirit of God is focusing on the sin being removed out of us so we can walk in the Spirit. You know, many Christians just know about, you know, clean up the outside of the cup. We're taught how to act right, not But we're not taught how to get delivered from the power of sin. We're told just quit doing bad things. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. Let's look at that. I'm going to read out the International Standard Version. Servant of the Lord must not argue. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, teachable, willing to suffer wrong, and gentle when refuting opponents. After all, maybe God will allow them to repent and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So they, now look at this, were brought to repentance, so, verse 26, we might escape from the devil's snare, even though we've been held captive by him to do his will. Let's read that same scripture, the Christian Standard Bible. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, apt to teach, patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Now, do yourself a favor and just consider, until you're led to repentance, the devil still has his hold on you. That's how you come out of this snare. That's how so when you get an understanding of repentance, not just it's a change of heart, but it's one sin after another you're led to repentance on. It's not repent and just come to Jesus. It's repent of every sin, so with every sin there's a spirit that's got you bound. So I brought up last week that repentance is not just turning from the outward act of sin, but it's a change of heart. It's in taking all the sin out of us that dwells in us. You can see that in Romans 7. It's sin in us causes us to commit the outward act of sin. That's part of getting a new heart, getting that sin in. Okay, turn to Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of dear Son. Now, I just read to come out of the hold of the devil, we have to be brought to repentance. And now I'm reading that we're delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. But you have to understand, this is why it's so important to put the whole Word of God together and then let God give you understanding. Yes, we were delivered from the power of darkness, or let me put it this way. That was worked out on the cross. That was a conflict of the cross, but you have to walk it out. You have to be brought to repentance. See, let me read that again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated the kingdom of the dear Son. Now, if you have tunnel vision, you'll just read that alone and say, see, I'm delivered from every spirit. And they'll put the emphasis, and they'll even say this, see, it says, hath delivered. And they'll say, see, Scott, that's, we've been delivered. But the problem is you're not putting the whole counsel of God together. All right? See, because I just read 2 Timothy 2:24, you have to be brought to repentance to escape the hold of the control of an evil spirit. Now, to prove you that this repentance is not just turning from an outward act of sin, but being redeemed or loosed away from the power of sin in us, we'll look at that word, what it redeemed means here in a minute. Let's read this again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. See, this was worked out on the cross about being delivered. And we have redemption through his blood. That was worked out on the cross. But we're going to have to see. We have to believe this and walk it out. Okay. And then we'll come out of this, the hold of the devil. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, redemption right here is part of being delivered from the authority of darkness. Now, let's look at the definition of redemption. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance says, ransom in full, deliverance. Bind, Expository Dictionary says redemption is deliverance from the presence and the power of sin. Okay? Got to get the whole meaning of this. See, this scripture, these scriptures in Colossians 1, 12 through 14, being delivered from the authority of the kingdom of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son is worked out in your life as you're brought to repentance and redeemed from the power of sin. Okay? See, we all walk according to the course of this world, Ephesians 6, according to the prince of the power of the air, where we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. You have to be delivered from the power of sin to come out from walking according to the course of this world. All right? See, if you just turn from the outward act of sin, you stay under the authority and the power of darkness. And you'll have trouble walking in God's Spirit. Okay? You know, Paul was sent as an apostle to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of darkness, of the authority of darkness, to the power of God. Okay? So, you say, well, Paul, you're confused because in Colossians, you wrote that we were already delivered. No, he's not confused. Paul went around preaching the gospel, setting people free from the power of sin, turning them from darkness to light. See, so if you don't put all these scriptures together, you'll just think it was all done. No, it was all worked out on the cross. And ministers of the gospel will teach you how to walk in it and walk it out. And some of you will say, well now, I know how to turn from doing acts of sin and how to stop, you know, okay, put that off, don't do that. But I don't know how to escape the power of sin. Well, that's what God sent me to teach you. He sent me to teach and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what I'm doing. I'm here to show you how to get out. Galatians, turn to Galatians 3:22, contemporary English version. But the scriptures say that sin controls everyone, so that God's promises will be for everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. Let's read that in the New Living Translation. But the scripture declares that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. And you got delivered in one day. You have to keep, the death, the burial, and the resurrection is the power of God on the side to deliver us out. Okay? And you hold fast to the gospel, you're saved if you continue to believe, hold fast to the gospel. That means you have to continue to believe to go to heaven. You receive Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. As long as as you receive Him as your Lord, as long as you don't turn away from Him. Okay, Romans 7:14, International Standard Version. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am merely human, sold as a slave to sin. Now, don't be condemned when you come to see you're still under the authority of darkness, because God judges us according to knowledge, and God sees if you're trying to obey Him and follow Him. All right? And also, you don't have to know all this to start letting God deliver you. Okay? You may not have all the revelation and the spiritual understanding of what I'm bringing out here, but there are Christians that have faith in God. They put His word in their heart, and they're getting results. They're being delivered from the power of sin and evil spirits. Okay? So, but I believe we're going to see much greater results as the revelation of what Jesus did on the cross, the power of God manifests in life. And I do believe that for the most part, the Christians are still under the power of darkness. Revelations 18. Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this before I read this again. I've heard people get up on broadcast and quote them about the Colossians that we've been delivered. And they said, we're delivered from the powers of the devil. We delivered. The devil has no control or no hold over our life whatsoever. Well, I just read you, I just spoke to you that Paul had to turn them from darkness to light. Okay? They didn't just receive Jesus and were delivered. They had to be turned from power of darkness to light. Now, let's read another one. Revelation 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Okay? And the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, all people have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of earth committed fornication with her. Merchants of earth have waxed rich through the abundance of the devils. Now this is talking about the whole world has become a habitation of devils. And we all drank, says all nations, drank of these spirits. And, you know, we read, you know, in Colossians 1:13, we're delivered from the authority and transferred the kingdom of God to their son. But let's read on to verse 4. Revelations 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, ye receive not of her plague. See, we weren't all delivered. That was worked out on the cross. But God says you have to believe the gospel. You have to be delivered from the power of sin. See, if you walk in and say it's not just get the outward act out, it's to get the sin out of you. That's how He has a hold of you. See, God is calling his people right here to come out of this spirit. It's a spirit of witchcraft. You read on later in that chapter, it's the spirit of witchcraft. And we saw we have to be redeemed or delivered from the power of sin to come out. Okay? You see, our sins were paid for on the cross, so Satan loses legal hold on us. But what is overlooked is the devil can still have a hold on you until the sin nature is taken away. He operates through that. Let's read this, John 14:30, International Standard Version. I won't talk with you much longer, this Jesus talking, because the ruler of this world, this is Satan, he's the god of this world, ruler of this world, prince of this world, is coming, and he has no power over me. See, he didn't have power over Jesus. First of all, he didn't sin, and I believe also because he went into the wilderness and got his heart purified. Yes, Jesus did have sin in him. He just never committed an outward act of sin. He had to be made like and unto his brethren in all ways. Now, let's look at more scriptures that sin has to be purged out of us as we walk in God's Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and take a break and put in a song here, and then we'll continue on. Let's hear Jesus Beside by Pamela Ponchit.
Blessed Redeemer.
Okay, so let's look at more scriptures that as sin is purged out of you can walk in God's Spirit. Hebrews 9:14. Much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let's read that in the English Standard Version. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purge our conscience from dead works? Why? To serve the living God. So, the sin nature is purified out of us. It has to be purified out of us so we can serve God or walk in God's Spirit. Alright? See? You can clean up the outside of the cup, but you don't serve God until you're purged inwardly. Do you see that? See, this is why I tell you, I've went to worship services, I've listened to worship services, and I said, this is soulless. There's very little spirit here. I've listened to ministers speak. Soulless, very little spirit. In some cases, no spirit at all. Why? They can't serve God until that sin is purged out of them. They may be pretty moral upright. Well, I don't do this, this, or this. That's great, but till you're purged inwardly, you won't serve the living God. Turn to Luke 11:39, English Standard Version. And the Lord said unto him, now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. Now, I believe that the Lord is showing me that repentance is not just turning from the outward acts, but getting a change of heart, which means get the sin out of us. And we can't be delivered from the powers of darkness. They still have their hold until we're brought to repentance. But all I can say is consider what I'm saying. We saw right there we can't serve the living God until our conscience is purged from dead works. Not we repent outwardly. It's purged. Purged is in the conscience, in the heart. Okay. Okay, now, I'm going to keep talking in the same line of thinking. You can straighten out your outward behavior, talk right, conduct yourself in an upright manner. And of course, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay? So I'm in no wise speaking against that. We're instructed to practice the word. We're instructed to be a doer of the word. But until we get the sin purged, cleansed out, we won't serve the living God. He said, well, I'm serving God. Well, I just read you serve the living God as your purge. See, you're trying to serve the living God, being a doer of the word, but you're not doing it by the Spirit. And we walk in the wrong spirit and because of this. And that's what I've seen in the church. Not that, you know, I'm not saying that the Spirit of God is administered at all. Just too much people are walking in their own ability in the wrong spirit. Okay? Turn to Matthew 23:25. I'm going to read the English Standard Version. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and plate, that the outside may be clean also. Okay? Now, those of you that you've given your life to God, you fear God, you've already made the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not mad at you because you still have wickedness in you. And you're still in the process of being brought to repentance or having a change of heart. And this is all a good thing. The Lord was hard on the Pharisees because they resisted being brought to repentance. They refused correction. They rejected the Lord. They wouldn't come to the Lord. They wanted to be the ruling establishment, the authority of God. And they were wrong. And the Lord himself came down from heaven and was trying to set everything in order. Well, he was setting in order, but those Pharisees, many of them were cut off because they rejected the Lord. Now, I was speaking last week out of Hebrew 4, comparing going through the wilderness, which is where we go through the trying of our faith, the fiery trials, and we get our heart purified, and then we go into the land, or we're coming into the walk of the Spirit of God. And how you get the sin nature purged out of you as you get the sin nature purged out of you, then you can come in the walk of the Spirit. And so going through the fire is part of that. Okay, now turn to Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence we rejoice of hope from Him? Now let me say this. There's been a big discussion, and it's been going on forever, about can a Christian lose his salvation? And what they're referring to is losing the gift of eternal life. Now, salvation is much more than getting eternal life. But as far as eternal life, if you receive Jesus Christ to make Him Lord, you have eternal life. Let's read that. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Okay, so you got that when you received the Lord. He that hath the Son hath life. Okay, so you don't have to overcome this sin to get eternal life and go to heaven. Alright? You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. You don't have to grow to any level of spiritual growth to go to heaven. There are people that receive Jesus on their deathbed and go to heaven. The thief next to Jesus on the cross said, Lord, he called upon the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, that thief said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day will you be with me in paradise. So he didn't have to do anything. He couldn't do anything. He was about to die. He was in the process of being crucified. So it's clear in Scripture, eternal life is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't have to go to any way. Just the only way a Christian could lose eternal life is turn away from Jesus Christ's lordship. That's how you got it, and that's the only way you can lose it. Okay? You can argue with the Scripture all you want. You can give all your reason all you want. Just walk with the Lord and do the best you can, and you'll keep being delivered, and He'll take you as far as you can, and you'll go to be with Him. If you turn away from Him and reject Him and choose to willfully live in sin, then you'll go to hell. So, you know, most likely, and unless God sovereignly, right before you die, makes you repent, He could do that. Now, like I said, salvation is much more than just eternal life. Salvation is the healing of the soul, body, being delivered from the power of sin, being made rich spiritually, financially, much, much more. Being delivered from the hold of every evil spirit. Okay? But there are Christians who walk with the Lord and only receive so much salvation that they go to be with the Lord. So keep that in mind. Alright? And I'm going over this, I do an overkill on this because a lot of reasons why people reject some of these things, they say, well, I'm saved, don't tell me I'm not saved. I'm not saying you're not saved on your way to heaven. I'm trying to minister to you to go into perfection. Alright? Bring you out from under the new spirit. God said, turn out of her, my people. If you just say, oh, I'm not under this, and you are, then you're not going to be brought out. Okay? Alright. Hebrews 3:6 again. But Christ, the Son over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confident rejoicing of our hope from an end? Now this is talking to Christians, and our bodies become His house if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm on the end. And what is the hope? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, well, when we receive Christ, He's in us. Yes, but He doesn't live through us until He sets us free from wicked works in us. Let's read that. Let me hold your place and go to Galatians 2:20. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ lives through you when you're crucified with Him. You don't receive Him and He automatically lives through you. You have to be crucified with Him. Okay? So, go back to verse 21. We read verse 27, now read verse 21. We're going to get all this in context. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, that's on the cross, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, when I, Paul, remain a minister. Now go skip down four verses, and we're going to read 27 again. See, you're made perfect. You're made holy, unblameable, and unimpeachable if you continue in the faith. And then it says, to whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery of the Gentiles. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we've been taught that all this is worked out when you receive Jesus. And everywhere you look in the Bible, it teaches you have to continue in the faith. See? So you continue in faith, then you're made holy, under approval. He's saving you from all your sins, purifying your heart, giving Christ in you the hope of glory. Now, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. See? You have to be, you're called, justified. Then you're glorified. Christ, the hope of glory in you, as you're set free as you continue in the faith. See, he's already in you, but he's not, you don't have the glory of God to honor God in your life till you're set free. Okay, now back to Hebrews 3:6. Christ, son of his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast, cost, rejoice in our hope firm on the end. So, here, speaking of Christians, we become Christ's house if we hold fast, our confidence, or we continue in the faith. See? Holding fast our confidence, continue in the faith, same thing. Let's read on. Or let's go to verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Now we're going to talk about going through the wilderness, so we can become Christ's house. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation. Well, okay, to be made Christ's house, we have to go through the wilderness. Let's read on. Verse 9. When your father was tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, it's all, not only talking about being Christ's house, but entering into the rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast on the end. Said almost the same thing in verse 6. Let's read that again. Christ is the son of his own house, whose house are we, behold, fast, the confidence and rejoice of the hope from the end. So we're made partakers of Christ. We become Christ's house. If we hold fast, our confidence, firm unto the end, or continue in the faith, we get the wicked works taken out of us. Now, you may have so much religious tradition in you that you cannot hear what I'm saying. But everything I'm saying is written right here. And I'm putting it all together. Okay? You know, God has been opening up the scriptures to me. We see here, once again, we're made partakers of the Christ, and it also ties this into as we're made partakers of the Christ. As we're made partakers of Christ, we become his house, we enter into the rest. Well, sure we enter into the rest. Why? The rest is where you are brought to the place where you're walking in the Spirit. Being made his house is where Christ takes over your house. See, once he gets you purified in you. Once you're crucified with him, sin no longer lives through you, rules through you. The devil loses his hold on you, and Christ lives through you. He's in control of you now. You go from one master to another master. You go from walking according to the prince of the power of the earth to walking in the Spirit. You go from Satan ruling over you to Christ. You become Christ's house, and now he's living through you. I'm telling you, keep going back over these scriptures and you'll see that as you're crucified with Christ, then he lives through you. As you're delivered from the power of sin, then your Satan loses his hold on you. And at the same time, Christ takes over your vessel. Okay? Christ is taking you over. You become his house. See, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He didn't say, if you receive me, you're free. He didn't say that, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. That is the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. But all these other scriptures talk about how we have to walk in all this for this to come to pass. See, if you immediately became a new creature in Christ, all the old things passed away, all things became new, that perfection, then you wouldn't have to hold fast the gospel. You wouldn't have to be delivered. You wouldn't have to continue in the faith. You wouldn't have to be corrected. You wouldn't have to be redeemed. Why? Well, if all the bad things about you passed away with one prayer, you had nothing bad about you, well then, tell me, all you Christians out there, how many of you have bad things about you after you receive Jesus? Then that didn't happen yet. How many of you Christians out there, everything about you is brand new? not just your heart, but your flesh also. It said all things became new. Those works of the flesh are the old man. It's, you know how I know? It says crucified. It didn't say, just stop doing it. It said crucified. Put it to death. You don't put to death your physical body. You put to death the sin in you that causes outward act. I'm telling you, if you'll stay with me, I'll keep laying these things out and you'll learn how to walk them out, how to hold fast the gospel, and the power of God will set you free from one sin after another that's in you. And as it does, each time one sin after another you're set free from it, another spirit will lose its hold. Okay? And, you know, people want to get into all this, like, well, I don't believe a demon can be me. What does it matter? What does it matter if it's in you or has a hold on you from the outside? The fact of the matter is we can read it still has a hold on you. Okay? Yes, it does teach we cast out devils. So if it's in you, we'll cast it out. Now, I'll tell you this. You don't have to go to a cast out meeting. You could just be overcoming the sin and the power of God and be praying in the power of God to drive it out. Sometimes it's necessary for a minister to cast it out. Sometimes it could just be we're praying or you're reading the Word of God and you can feel a spirit depart from you. I had one time I was sleeping and the power of God came on me and it drove a spirit out of me. So let's not put this in a box, how it has to work. It can work, and it doesn't matter anyway. All we should be concerned about is we want to walk with God, believe the gospel, be set free, and be overcomers. All right? Okay, so if there's anybody out there that's never been saved, been born again, that's the start of God starting to work in you. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. See, it says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And that's when you get saved. You see, you read that in Ephesians 2:8, says, we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, but any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. See, so when you receive Jesus, if salvation was complete, then you'd be all, your new creation would be all complete. But it says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And it says in Philippians, he started a good work in us. So he started to make a new creature out of us. See, I'm telling you, the more you rightly divide the word of truth, the more you put it together, the more you'll see what I'm saying. It's a process. It's all a process. Salvation is a process. Okay. So if you've never been born again, been saved, you can get saved today and God will start a work in you. Spirit of Christ will enter in you, and if you crucify the flesh, he'll live through you more and more. Okay? So, to get saved, all you gotta do is call upon the name of the Lord. That's all there is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father, the Almighty God, except by me, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So call upon this name. Call upon the name of Jesus right now. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. And your word says, if I receive you, you'll give me the authority to become your sons and daughters. So I receive you, Lord Jesus. Say this first. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior right now. Okay. So if you said that prayer, you're saved. The start of the new birth, of making a new creature, has begun in you. And it will continue with you, continue in you, that work of grace, if you'll continue in the Word. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God gave me a revelation of the parable of the sower back in 2008. And that's why I know that being born again is a process. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.